Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Derek Wise. Derek, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Derek, it's great to have you, and Derek's here to share his testimony with us today. Derek, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
I have been born and raised in Rockingham County my entire life. Lived here pretty much my entire life. Except for a few years where I spent college over at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville.
Wow, I don't know why I thought your parents are from somewhere else, right?
My parents are from the Midwest.
That's what I thought, but that was pre you, huh?
Yeah, they met at EMU and then stayed.
Okay, that's really cool. So I'm guessing they went to EMU. Did you grow up in the Mennonite community?
Did grow up in the Mennonite church, attending Parkview.
They're like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday type of life?
More of a Sunday morning probably for our family.
Right. Yeah. But involved.
Involved. Yep.
That's great.
How many years were you all in that church and what did that kind of look like, the Sunday morning experience or anything that stuck out to you from those growing up years?
Wow. Definitely a contrast to being here at the Nazarene church. I was probably at Parkview until I was about 25 or so when we started attending here. I did have the pleasure to have Myron Augsburger as one of my preachers. Mm. A little different than most Mennonite church preachers. Myron was pretty dynamic. So I remember a little bit of him when I was younger. And then I, you know, it's probably more lukewarm, mm-hmm. I would say, as I was growing up.
So how long have you all been at the Nazarene Church?
It's about, I think we came in like 99, 2000.
So that was when this building was very new, but just the first phase.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I remember doing what was then Kid City in this room with the tykes.
Isn't that funny?
The room we're recording in was nursery.
The door was split and you handed the kid over.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Every time I see Gabe Montanez, that's what I think about, because he was one of the ones that I remember we had.
That's great. I did want to say, you know, having someone in your life like Myron that you can look back and go, God used him in my life. That's beautiful. Sometimes just to think back on those things and realize, and I'm sure it was a timely time in your life when he came along. And so you went to UVA, to college, and came right back to the Valley.
Mm-hmm. And what did you study in college?
Commerce, what they call their business school, but it was called Commerce at UVA.
Yeah.
And how did, or when did you and Tammy meet?
I was 23, so it was about 1 year removed from college. My dad had hired Tammy into his business, and that's how I met, although she says I met her earlier because she had worked for my mom when my mom was still with the school system, but I don't actually remember that, so we differed on
she our, had her eye point. On you though, right?
I don't think at that point she probably did.
So when you came back to the Valley, where did you go to work?
I worked for my dad.
Yeah. What do you all do?
He at the time had a software business for small colleges and universities, and I worked in the sales department when I first started.
And we had our first church website through Derek and Dwight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yep. That was our second business, yep.
Yeah. So which business are you on now?
It's kind of still the second
one. Yeah, yeah.
We had multiple things that we were doing, but we've kind of narrowed down into just the camp
Okay.
And conference center software yeah. business.
Okay.
So you mentioned that your dad hired Tammy, and that's when you first remember her. But when did y'all maybe realize that there was something more than just a working relationship or maybe something potential there?
Well, for me, it was right away. I don't know. I had to wear her down a little bit. But that relationship moved pretty quickly, probably faster than it should have. And that created its own challenges later on. But God saw us through those things. And I wouldn't be who I am today without Tammy. Mm-hmm. And so God used her in a mighty way, drew us to this church where we both kind of found Jesus in a different way than the way I had grown up, something more tangible and real. So, yeah, always be grateful for her in my life.
And I have to mention this because the Lord brought your name back to mind when Pastor Margaret and I were recording another guest on our program, Jenny, who oversees Isaiah 117 House. And you and Tammy fostered, how many foster kids did you all have?
So we had three full-time placements before Brennan and Kara. Right. So the first one was we had three boys, brothers, which was a little overwhelming for us. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
They were something. But God used that. We were just the way place for them until they got to their permanent home and they moved on somewhere where they got adopted. And all three of them went to college. I've seen them. They've done really well. Then we had two teenagers who aged out before we adopted them, but they both still call us their family. So they're still in our lives. Or we're in theirs, however you want to look at it. They're 30, so you're more in theirs than they are in yours, probably. But and then we took a break, and then when we came back, Tammy and I didn't think we were going to adopt at that point. We just thought we'd be foster parents. And then we got the call to go pick up Brennan and Kira. And when I tell my kids this sometimes, Kira kind of rolls her eyes at me, but there are moments where God speaks to you, lets you know that something's getting ready to happen that's gonna change your life. I felt that way when I saw Tammy for the first time. And when I walked into the room, and I can remember the room, I can remember where the kids were. I saw Kira first and then Brendan, and you know, you just felt like something was going to be different. And we took them home, and they haven't left. So,
and that was the first set of kids that you had fostered, because the others were teenagers, right?
For
the
most, no, the 8, 9, and 10-year-olds.
Oh, the boys were the first set of boys were kids.
Yep. Yeah.
So when did you all decide that you were going to be foster parents? What led to that?
Well, we had a long journey in terms of building a family, and we had been through fertility doctors, and I think it was 6, maybe more times of IUI, 2 rounds of IVF. And while we saw God work in those situations, it didn't result in a biological child. And so after a period where you grieve, because there's grief there.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially for Tammy. I think God gives women an inherent sense, right, of being pregnant and giving birth and those kinds of things. And so we were trying to navigate the next step, and Tammy and I weren't necessarily on the same page all the time on that. She was looking towards adoption, and I was having trouble getting peace on that. And I remember a trip. I remember where foster care happened for us. I was down in North Carolina, and I was on my way home, and it was late at night, and about the only thing you could get was like very scattered radio, and there was an NPR, I think it was an NPR, but there was a radio show, and Truett Cathy, who was the founder of Chick-fil-A, one of the things that he did was he opened a bunch of foster care homes for teenage boys, in particular, because teenagers have a hard time getting placed, and boys especially. And I felt like God was speaking to me, and driving home late at night, right? Like, you got time for your thoughts. When I got back to the office, I dropped off some things. As I was leaving, I saw a sign for foster parents wanted on my way home. And so I got home late. And the next day, I remember talking to Tammy, and I said, "What do you think about foster care?" And she kind of looked at me, because God had placed multiple instances of that for her too. And so that's kind of how we ended up there. Mm-hmm. That journey didn't necessarily go the way we thought, right? You know, you say we want this kind of age, and then, but ultimately Brennan and Kira came home. So,
yeah. It's amazing that how God prepares a heart and then gives that person some patience to wait until the other heart's prepared. And that's not easy. Can make for a very strained relationship in the waiting, right? But you waited, and God opened your heart to the teens idea, and then that just ended up with where you're at now.
Did you all know right away that you were going to try to adopt them, or what did that look like?
So, because of our experience before, I would say that I was, I tried to manage my expectations. I remember a moment fairly early on where I said something like that to the CPS worker that was part of that. And I said something about, because you're supposed to, as foster parents, partner with the birth parents, and the whole goal is to get them back home. And I said something along those lines. And she said something back along the line that was like, "They're probably not going home anytime soon." So Tammy and I, for a while, were in this interesting state. Are we preparing for them to stay? Are we trying to help them get home? It was almost 2 years from the time that we got them until the adoption was finalized. It took a long time. And I think you want it to. I don't think you want to take people's kids away unless you have to.
That's right.
Yeah. And then when you start that legal process, you want to make sure it plays out. So there were multiple court hearings and things like that.
Yeah. How old were they?
So Brennan had just turned 6 when we got them, and Kira was 4.
Okay.
At what point in that process, y'all got some difficult news?
So our forever day with the kids, which is the day that the adoption was finalized, is May 20th, 2015. Tammy and I were in the car together, and that's when we got the news that the adoption was finalized. We could come by and pick up the paperwork. About a half an hour later, we were in a doctor's office with her oncologist, and we got the news that her cancer had come back 20 years after her original diagnosis. So it was a very interesting moment, and you know, it was, most people tell me what I gotta do, you know, we're gonna fight, we're gonna do whatever. Tammy was like that. I got in the car, I was much more I was a little perplexed. And I would say Tammy's faith journey was always ahead of me. I would say she was stronger. She had been through some things, I think, that had drawn her to a different, deeper relationship. And I would find that later after our journey with this part. But I remember getting in the car and was kind of like, I don't understand, you know, the adoption finalizes and then this happens. And Tammy immediately said that for her, that she saw the adoption of the kids as a sign of hope, not as trying to, she understood it completely. You know, I would see it later that the adoption of the kids was a lot more about me than it was about her. Having them in my life after she passed was probably the thing that helped me survive. So, yeah, in that moment, it was hard for me to try and make sense of those two things at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Just this idea of adoption and her desire. And sometimes the very things we fight are the things that will save us. I was wondering how that, when did that come into, how long did it take until you finally realized, hey, this is what is keeping me? What did that, like, how long did it take till you were like, oh, these kids are saving my life?
Well, you know, you probably don't realize that until later.
Yeah.
You know, in the moment, you're just, when you're in the middle of that kind of grief, it can be hard to find a reason to get up. Mm. I had to, because they had to go to school, and they needed lunch, and whatever, breakfast, and whatever else, right? There were some days early on where I marshaled myself, got them to school, came home, went right back to bed, stayed there until it was time to go pick them up again. But so I think that that was something that, that I saw later. In terms of that, I think that we were, it all was exactly the way it was supposed to be, that I think ultimately, you know, when we were going through IVF, I haven't gone back and put the actual dates together, but I think one of them was about the time that Brennan was born.
Wow.
And the other one probably wasn't too far away from when Kara was born. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those things work out. And, yeah, it's Brennan's graduating Friday.
Wow.
And one of the things that Blue Ridge does is we have a senior breakfast, and parents and other people important in our lives write them love letters, is what they call them. And then, so I was writing mine today. And yeah, Brennan and Kara are probably the two biggest blessings of my life after Tammy. So.
There was a little bit of time there. So she did get a little bit of time with the kids, even though she was battling cancer.
Yeah. The first 2 years when they were just foster kids, right? I mean, I think they already started to look at her as mom. And then from the time they were adopted until she died, about 2.5 years. Yeah, every moment, you know, she had cancer. It was, you know, there were ups and downs. There were part of it that felt normal. And there were times where it was very much not. It was, there was parts of that. Yeah.
It's really cool to see them here and to watch, the opportunity to watch them grow. And, you know, if you're in the sound booth, they're not far from you.
And Brendan's helping out with a camera usually when Derek's in the sound booth helping with slides.
Well, I think we were talking about church softball a little bit ago before we started recording. You've been a part of that for a lot of years. Did they become a part of that too?
Brendan knows.
Yeah, I thought one of them.
Kara doesn't want to play, but I forced her a few times.
I thought that they both had at one point or another.
But she carries Tammy's attitude. She wears flip-flops, so she's not able to play.
Well, Derek has been involved on both ends of his journey with Tammy.
Yeah, for sure. I know.
I think Brendan got him back into it. I'm guessing that's what got him back
into it. I did take a break, for a few. It takes a while to move through the grief and then find your way back to normal, whatever that looks like. So,
I remember one Sunday morning sitting in church, and it's been a few years ago, but you were pretty close to where I was sitting and to see you worship. I can't even put words to that. I just couldn't imagine. But you were there and you were present and you were worshiping. And
yeah.
That ministered to me in ways I can't even put into words. But it's a journey. It is. Grief is a journey. I love Psalm 23 talks about, yeah, they'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And, you know, we do. There is another side. But I don't think we ever stop grieving.
Yeah.
Or remembering, but it's only by God and His grace. I say often it feels like in those moments of grief where it's so fresh, it's like God pulls the curtain back and allows you to see reality for a little bit, and you lose it, and then He pulls it back shut and just works until you come to that place that it's reality, because it's crushing. And I've not lost a spouse, so I can't imagine that. But it's ministered to me to watch your all's life. And Tammy was such a woman of faith.
She would be proud of how you've raised these kids.
And of you and your faith journey.
That part is true.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of help with the kids, but Tammy drew us here. It took me a long time to completely surrender. I had to do it a little bit at a time. She was able, I think, to do it a lot faster than I was. Yeah. But
Well, she was a great testimony to of faith, and I'm sure living with her it had to rub off a little bit.
Yeah. Well. I don't know if it was the same Sunday, but I do remember Sunday seeing you with your hands raised. Yeah. And even you'll have to look up in the sound booth sometimes. He has his hands raised up there too. But I even remember one of the other things that encouraged me when Tammy was going through the tough times, seeing her here in her wheelchair. And, you know, she was worshiping to the end too. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a real testimony of faith to a lot of people. We still have moments of missing Tammy around here. She had a real good friend named Angela, right? Sight.
Yeah. I know that there was a couple times where the Mills came to live with you all while they were in transition from house to house. There was things like that. You all, and I believe, did you all give Pastor Billy a ride to church when he was in college?
Yeah. before we had foster kids. The Mills lived with us twice. We had our brother-in-law and our nephew and two nieces live with us. I don't know if you remember the Barkers, but Greg and Teresa lived with us when they were...
He's now Reverend Barker.
I just saw that.
He just got ordained. Anyway.
But that was when they were selling everything and going to Botswana, I think, right?
Yeah.
We had two... young men, Artem.
Yes, I was trying to remember.
And Martin both lived with us.
Yes, I remember that.
So, yeah, we were kind of running a B&B for a while, it felt like. But
you had all the guys over there in Mount Crawford. We were housing the girls. So that's really great. It speaks of hospitality, and I know that that was such a part of Tammy's heart was this hospitality.
Yeah, and I've heard it said one time that grief is love that has nowhere to go. I think about that.
Yeah, it comes and goes in waves.
Even though you might not understand till heaven why God did it the way He did, it might have seemed like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows happening on the same day, but He knew you would need those kids.
Well, Grayson, along the way, God did show up in lots of different ways. You know, you wonder, one of the things that's hard when you have young kids is they're going to ask the question, why? And it's hard to give them an answer all the time to that. So after Tammy's original diagnosis, we went through the treatment phase, right? So chemo, surgery, radiation. There was a period where we thought, where you kind of got to the point where you got it, you know, you were hoping that you got it, that kind of thing. So there was a period in 2016 where we thought, you know, where things kind of started to get back to normal. And then in December of that year, Tammy had experienced some discomfort around her kidneys, and we went back through the stage, and that's when they upgraded her. I don't know if it's an upgrade, but where she went from stage 3 to stage 4, because it was in a lymph node down in a part of the body where they couldn't do surgery and they couldn't go get it. And so I remember that conversation afterwards too. We left and we went to Vito's, and I could probably almost walk in the restaurant and show you where we were sitting. And again, what do you say when someone gets that news and you're staring, you know, what do you say to them? So it was quiet for a little bit. And Tammy had a moment where she said, if this is what it takes for my family to find Jesus, then this is what we're going to do. Wow. And her family, I would say, had would largely be considered probably unsaved, or, you know, grown up very nominal Catholic. Yeah. And I just remember looking at her and, what do you say in that moment? I'm here for you and this is what we're going to do. And so the rest of the way, it was kind of hard to complain about what was happening.
With that kind of an attitude.
I mean, what do you do with that? So, so I will say, Grayson, that there definitely are people in her family that found Jesus as a part of this journey.
Yeah.
There's one story in particular, and there was a time where I wasn't sure if I was allowed to share it or not, but I finally did. One of Tammy's uncles, I would say, if you had picked out one person in her family that might never find Jesus, you might have pointed towards him. He wasn't a bad man. He just, you know, didn't live his life that way. Heavy drinker, smoker, and he was really affected after Tammy died. I think that softened him in a way where he was finally ready to listen. Tammy's homegoing service, specifically had talked to Pastor Carey about making sure that he made a call. A lot of the family didn't understand what it was. They actually thought he was asking them for money, believe it or not, because they didn't grow up like that, right? They didn't understand.
Right.
He wasn't asking for your money. He was asking for your heart. Mm-hmm. I've had that conversation with a few of them.
Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that part one of Derek Wise's testimony has been a half hour of hope for your life. We also want to invite you to listen to part two of Derek Wise's testimony next Sunday at noon on 1470 AM and 102.1 FM WBTX. You can also listen on 1150 AM.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.